And Doug Brown and Rob Robinson have been working hard to put this together. The idea is to pray for our students, their parents, the school, the staff. And this is going to happen today at 2 p.m. at Low End Chapel on the school campus. So you don't have any reason to go back home today and lay down after you eat. You need to go back to school and start praying for the students, okay? And no sleeping today. Sundown evening praises tonight at 6:15. It's going to be a DVD presentation titled Escape from the Black Hole. A hip-hop artist that got saved and is going to talk about the experience of being lost in the entertainment business. So be here. Also today, tomorrow there's going to be an Asian dinner fundraiser. So the junior class have a fundraiser tomorrow, and it's going to be from 5 to 7. So there's going to be a delicious Asian dinner prepared for the church. So please be there. Please support the junior class at the academy. River Cacho is in charge, and she promises that anyone who lives in Golden Oaks that wants dinner can have it brought to them. Just ask, and they'll bring them over to you. So please support the junior class. Next Sabbath is going to be a big Sabbath for those who are interested in winning souls. There's going to be an Army Bible Camp. And you ask, what's Army Bible Camp? Well, the ARME, Army Organization, are very active in trying to recruit disciples for God's work. They have a very intense program where they teach you about the Bible and equip you to be able to win souls. So this is going to happen at Galt SDA Church next Sabbath from 9:30 in the morning to 8:15 p.m. So if you're interested in winning souls and learning more on how to do that, please be there. Rick Ficus' aunt, Loretta Ramirez, passed away this past Tuesday. Loretta and Ezekiel, her husband, were attending this church for many, many years. There's going to be a showing at the Cherokee Memorial Funeral Home between the hours of 12 noon and 6 p.m. Tomorrow, September 12th. And there's going to be the actual memorial service on Monday, the 13th, at 11 a.m. So if you know this family, please support them. I also want you to remember them in your prayers. Rick is also needing men to help with a Christmas concert. You know, we have enough women, but there's just a paucity of male voices in the choir. So I see lots of men here, and I know you all can sing. So this is usually a big thing. For those who were here last year, you know how extravagant and just tremendous it was. So we want it to be as good or better this year, and we need men to be in the choir. Practice is usually at 7 p.m. on Friday nights. So please help us make this Christmas concert a success by joining the choir. There are lots of announcements in the bulletin, so please feel free to read it and get acquainted with what's going on in your church family. And just in case you're wondering why I'm so informally dressed, I'm usually wearing a tie, it's because we're having youth church at my home today. So they started at about 10 o'clock, and it's just getting warmed up. For those youth who are here today and who want to attend, you can come with me. I'm done with the announcement, I'm going to get in my car and go back home. So if you want to ride with me, please feel free. And for the older ones who want to experience what it's like to be a youth all over again, you can come with me also. Okay? So, and the next item on the agenda is Ministry Highlights by Stephanie.
Thank you, Felix. Boy, it sounds like a fun time out there. I've seen a lot of people looking very comfortable today, ready to go out there. That's great. I want a quick reminder, as long as we're doing announcements, those of you who have signed up to go to the Women of Faith Conference, I need to get the check in. We need to be sending in our monies this week. So if you haven't paid for that, please make sure either Helen Ng or myself or Lana here at the office gets that. Just a reminder, does anybody know what's happening this week? Small groups are starting. Oh, at least one person knows. If you guys didn't know that, small groups are beginning this week. I hope that you've been hearing from your group leaders. There are sign-up sheets out here, and on the tables are the new bookmarks. Did you guys stop and pick up the new bookmark? Good. Oh, let me see that, Liz. Here you go. Lessons in Luke. I'm excited because we're going to be doing stories. I love the book of Luke. If you notice from last time, some of the other stories we've done, we were following some of the parables and stories. You know, there's more parables in Luke than any other book. So we're going to do some parables. We're going to do some of the stories, some of the miracles. We're going to follow Jesus again. Can't get the videos going? No, can't. Under documents and then videos. I wanted to show you a couple of videos. They're based on the Mac and the PC. Have you seen those videos? I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, trying to make you want to buy a Mac. And I wanted to show you the difference between a small group and a big group, because some things can happen in a small group that can't happen in a big group. Got it? Okay, here we go. I think, yeah? Maybe. No. No. Okay, well, how many of you have been in a small group this last year? I can tell you, oh, isn't that fabulous? Oh, I'm excited to see that. Do you know what? One of the things that small groups is not, it is not a chance to come. One of the videos I wanted to show you, too, showed this couple going to different groups. They were trying out all these different groups, and they get to the first one, and it says, shh, it's going to be this, so Dr. So-and-so is having a Bible study. And so they come in, and there is this man in a black and white suit with a little black bow tie and glasses, and he is leading this in-depth Bible study, and he looks to them and says, now, you look like you might be versed in Hebrew. Can you share with us what the original text might have meant? And they're reading Leviticus 13. If anyone has a rash, let him come to Aaron. And so they look at each other, and they look at the leaders, and they said, oh, we thought that this was a Tupperware party. We must be in the wrong house. And so then they get up, and they leave, and they go to the next house. And it, of course, is the same house and the same people. But they come in, and this time the people are like, hello, glad you're here. And it's all very strange. And they come in, and they're welcomed. But they have to sit in the middle. Everybody else takes a seat, and they have to sit in the middle. And they said, well, now you have to tell us your deepest, darkest secrets. And they look around, they're like, ah, and they leave. And so small groups is not an in-depth Bible study where you're going to have to know Hebrew and Greek and all of that to come. It's not a place where you have to bury your deepest, darkest secrets. And it goes on to show some different things. And then the last one was they come in, and they're having this dance-off. And they look around, they're like, what? And they of course, leave. They're like, oh, it's not a party. It's not just a social club. It is a place where we do real life together. It's a group of friends who get together, and we want to be intentional about growing in Christ. We want to learn the word, but we want to be transformed. We want our lives to be transformed. We want to do life together. We don't want to be alone in life. I think that nobody should do life alone. And if you have been in a small group, you know how great it can be. And I want to see everyone enjoying this. If you haven't signed up yet, if you have not joined a small group, I'd encourage you to do so today. We're going to have some of the small group leaders out after the service by the small group tables so that you can get acquainted with who's doing them. You will notice that we have them almost every day of the week. I believe we have Monday, we have Tuesday, we have Wednesday, we have Thursday, we have Friday. We even have Sabbath afternoon. So I think Sunday is the only day we're not meeting, that there isn't a small group. There's some in the daytime. There's some in the evening. There's some in the afternoon. So if you can't find one, it doesn't mean you have to be in a group with people all your own age. I think When there's lots of different age groups represented, we can learn lots from each other. And so come join a small group. If you don't see one there that's going to meet your time frame or your geographical location, then talk to me and I'll see if I can't help you find a small group. I think it's going to be exciting as we go through the lessons in Luke together.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to everybody. And I would like to ask the young people, the children, to come forward now and grab a basket, please. And it's time for our children's offering. And then when we wrap up with that, we'll have a story. You want to go that way? Go this way. Oh, he's afraid. You want me to take you up there? You want to get some money? Should we go this way? Let's go. Oh, I think he's... Somebody will have to come to him. Some money in the back over here. I see some people in the very back corner right over here. Oh, you want to go back this way? You want to go back that way, Brandon? Wow, thank you. Did we get it all? Well, wow. Good morning to all of you young people. How are you this morning? Are you wide awake? Did you have breakfast? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you a story today. You had cereal? All right. Well, we're going to talk about... Okay, well, we'll talk about that. Hold your cereal thoughts for just a minute. We're going to have a story, and it is going to be called... Faith, Muscle, and My Invisible Friend. Do you have an invisible friend? You do? I have an invisible friend. We're going to talk about my invisible friend. But first of all, we're going to talk about our muscles. Can you guys show me your biggest muscle? Wow, it's a good thing I have a jacket on because you'd be so impressed. So show me your biggest muscle. Really, oh, there you go. Feel how hard that is. What do our muscles do? Do you guys know what our muscles do?
They move our bodies.
They move our bodies. They do move our bodies. They move every part of us. What else do our muscles do?
You can eat so they...
You can eat something because you have muscles? That's true. Can you feel muscles in your face and in your jaw? If you didn't have muscles in your jaw, you couldn't eat. What else? What am I doing right here in front of you? Yeah, and what am I doing now? What if I didn't have muscles? Where would I be? I would be a big blob on the floor, and I'd have to have the microphone on the floor to talk to you because I couldn't even hold a microphone up. So it's a really good thing. Hold on, I'll ask you some more questions. It's a really good thing that we have our muscles. So tell me, how do we grow big muscles? What'd you have today for breakfast?
Pigs in a blanket.
Okay. What did the pigs think about that?
Cereal. I eat food and I sleep, and that's how my body grows.
And I had a bagel.
A bagel. Okay, good. Okay, let me see.
Cereal.
Cereal. Okay. All right. So let me ask you this. So you've had breakfast, and that's an important meal, isn't it? How about Captain Crunch? Is Captain Crunch good for your muscle, or is a crunchy carrot good for your muscle?
Crunchy carrot.
Crunchy carrot. So we have to be careful what we eat. We can have bagels and cereal and pancakes and those kind of things, but we also have to be careful that what we put in our body is something that's going to help us grow big muscles, right? Well, I heard one day when I was learning about being a Christian that faith is like a muscle. And I'm going to tell you a little story about faith and food. And some people may have heard this story, but I don't know if you've heard it or not. But it was a day when my invisible friend was with me. He's with me every day. And I was driving along, and I got attacked by a hamburger. And I was driving along, and my first car, one of my first cars, was a Volkswagen Bug. And on a Volkswagen Bug, they have a windshield that's flat, just like this. And so I was driving down the freeway in Sacramento, and I had gotten to a part of the freeway that was kind of just gently curved, and there was a lot of traffic, and traffic was going about 65 miles an hour, and I was going about 55 because that's as fast as my Bug would go. And so I was traveling along, and all of a sudden, right on my front windshield was a picture of a giant hamburger. It had flown off of a truck. It was an advertisement for like AMPM Mini Mart or something. And it had flown off of a truck, and it had hit my windshield, and there it stuck, and it wouldn't go anywhere. So here I was driving down the freeway in the middle of all this traffic, and all I could see was a hamburger. So see, now you see, people will tell you, don't eat too many hamburgers. They're not good for you. But I almost died by a hamburger in a whole different way. So it is very important what we eat, right? Okay, so, well, my invisible friend happened to be with me that day, and I always try to take him wherever I go, and I try not to rush off without him. Do you know who he might be?
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus is my invisible friend. Can we see Jesus like I'm looking at you? We don't see him standing right in front of us. But we absolutely, for positively sure, know that he is there. So I always, when I'm driving by myself, I always picture Jesus sitting in the passenger seat of my car. And when I'm in my, and when I'm at work, at my desk at work, I picture Jesus right next to me helping me do my work really well. And so when you're at school and you're at your desk or when you're on the playground, you can picture your invisible friend Jesus being right with you all the time. So what about faith and muscle? What does that have to do with each other? Well, do we have to exercise our muscle to get it to grow really big and strong? If we don't spend time with Jesus and we don't pray and ask him for certain, you know, to help us and to learn about him, are we going to build our faith? That's right. So if we don't exercise our muscles and we don't play and we don't eat right, we're not going to have big muscles. And if we don't exercise our faith, we're not going to have strong faith. Have you ever prayed for something really special? me see if somebody hasn't said anything. Kayana, have you prayed?
I prayed that God would send me a cat when I lost my old cat, and he did.
And he sent you one. Anybody else have a prayer that they'd like to share?
I prayed about God that I was always going to be good in exercise.
You prayed and asked God that you would be good. That's a very good prayer, because without him, we're not any good, are we? And the Bible even tells us that. So it's very important that we ask God to help us to be good.
I will never stop exercising.
Do you have a prayer that you prayed?
Uh-huh. I prayed to God at night. I prayed to him for that story that my mom read.
Oh, and then she read the story that you wanted? Oh, so he answered your prayer right away. Okay, so that's how it works, right? We pray about something, and then God shows us the answer, and that's how our faith grows. So can children have answers to prayer? And what does the Bible have to say about you guys? Does it say, oh, you guys have to wait to grow up before God will listen to you? Does it say that? No. You know what God says about children? And he says it to the big people, to us. He says, you better be like the children, because if you aren't like the children, you will not be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. So you have to be like the children. That's what he tells the big people. And he says, watch them. They have very strong faith, and we need to have faith like you. So trust God. Talk to him. He's your invisible friend, and he's with you everywhere you go. And anytime you need him, you pray, and he will hear your prayer. Okay, our story time is over, but thank you so much for listening. And can you quietly go back to your seat?
Thank you, Cindy. Good morning, church. A couple things before we begin our worship service. First of all, in the pews in front of you, there are some friendship and communication cards. Those are for prayer requests, for things to share with the church staff, such as interested in Bible studies or becoming part of our church family through transfer. Just if that's what you would like, take advantage of those cards, fill one out, and put it in the offering plate as it comes around in just a few minutes. Secondly, our nominating committee. There we go. It's been hard, hasn't it? Yes. Our nominating committee has work ministry involvement team. We're just about done. The committee asked me to share with you we're just kind of opening it up a little bit to share our heart with you. That has to do with the Vespers Committee, the Sabbath Afternoon Vespers Committee. We have three people that are willing to serve on the Vespers Committee. However, we have no one that is willing to take the reins and say, I will be the committee. So, unless someone steps up to the plate, the Vespers will be discontinued on Sabbath afternoons, except for special occasions, you know, like when we have a special group that comes in. Now, unless someone wants to head that up, if you do, you could talk to one of the pastors, you could call the church office and let the secretary know. So if that's something that the Lord is stirring on your heart that you would like to be involved in, the Vespers Committee, please let us know. But we just wanted to keep you in the loop of what's going on with that. Lots of different things in people's memories today. 9/11. 9 years ago, I have a hunch most of us remember where we were and what we were doing when we heard the news. Things on this are very temporary. They're very fragile. Orange one. Okay, things are very temporary. Things are very fragile. And yet, as Christians, Peter says something I'd like to share with us in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable. Twin towers can go down, but our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You looking forward to that day? Let me pray. Father, thank you for the blessed hope that we have through Jesus. Thank you that in spite of stuff that happens in this world that is scary, that is threatening, that is harmful, that's hurtful, we do have the blessed hope. Jesus is coming again, and we look forward to that eternity. Thank you for your presence and for your blessing as we worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you to stand as our worship leaders lead us in singing this morning. We have this hope.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We are united in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are united in his sing, hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope, this faith, and God's great love. We are united in
be seated.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praise. praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Good morning, church. This morning we would like to have a special dedication for our teachers. We are very proud of our schools and our churches here in this area. We're very proud of Lodi Academy and Elementary. And we're just so thankful that we have our schools. And we just feel it's appropriate that we bring our teachers and administrators up forward today and to have a special dedication and prayer for you. I know we just feel the need to pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God on your life, because we don't look at it really as a job. We know it's a ministry. And so I'm going to have Doug Brown and Rob Robinson, our principals, to come forward. Come on forward. Come on, Rob. Come on right now. And have our staff come forward. If the staff would come forward right now. I know some are here. And by the way, if you're a teacher in a public school, some of you, I know Dennis, come forward as well. We'd like to pray for you as well. And I know there's others. Doug, tell us a little bit how this year started. I know you've had haven't you had a week of prayer?
We've had a week of prayer. We started off the second week with a youth pastor from Kettering, Elliot Smith, who was a student in College View Academy when I was a chaplain back there, and he came and did a great job for us. We're already 3 weeks through school. It's hard to believe.
That's great.
Amazing.
Yeah. Rob, go ahead and hand them. Rob, you've had a week of prayer as well. How's the year started for you?
We had a week of prayer also at the elementary. Outstanding. We have a lot of kids in grades 5 through 8 that are in baptismal classes with both Pastor Scott and Pastor Tracy. And we have 196 students, and it's a great school year.
You know, that's kind of a miracle, isn't it, Rob? Because we thought the enrollment would be way down, and we are praising God.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah. Rob, why don't you introduce your staff? You guys, we're going to have you come a little closer. Everybody's staying over to the side. We'd like you to come a little closer because we'd like to pray. I'm going to have my elders, if you're here, you know who you are, to come up. We're going to surround them here in a moment. But, Rob, could you just go ahead and introduce your teachers and tell them what grade?
I'm just going to hide behind them. Let's see who we've got here. Kindergarten. Lily Wynn teaching kindergarten. Thelma Robinson teaching first grade. Sharon Miller in second grade, Audie Silber in third grade. We've got third, fourth, fifth grade. Tim's at the end. There's Tim. Nevis in fifth grade. Let's see, sixth grade, seventh grade. Jenny Silvestri in seventh grade. Let's see what other staff. Where is Maureen up here? Maureen, come on up here. Helping Tim with the sports department and instructional aid is Maureen Neal. Is Verlinda up here? Our bookkeeper and accountant that keeps records for all 196 kids, Linda Matney, the super secretary, the first voice usually here at the school, the very best secretary assistant I could ever ask for. Alyssa Wallace, who also helps a couple days a week.
Yes.
I think that's the elementary staff. I hope I haven't forgotten anybody.
We're praising God.
Dale Kublow? Ruth Leach?
Well, we are.
Mrs. Wardell?
Mrs. Whedell? Is Betty here?
Claudia?
I don't see Betty here. Mrs. Whedell, we don't have, but let's give them a hand. Appropriate. Thank you for all your hard work, what you do for our kids and our community. And Doug, I'd like you to introduce your staff.
I've got to get up here to see who they are. We have lots of people. I'm even going to include Bonnie Ruth Scott down here, who works with our alumni and comes to the school often. Mr. Harvey Borton, who is our math teacher. We have Brent Plubel, who is our business manager. Coming down here, we have Mr. Rodriguez, who is our music department. Amen. Mr. Tom Larson, who does history and shop.
Amen.
Karen Hall, who does science and math. Kevin Hashey, who is our maintenance man. We have Brandon Craig, who is our PEAD. We have Carrie Prouty, who is Bible and also math. And where's Steve? Steve's got to be somewhere. I know. Where is he? Wave, Steve. Way over there. Okay. Okay. Good. And let's see. Going on around, we have Janine, who teaches lessons over in our music department. And that's it. I'm going to steal for just 2 seconds.
That's great.
Okay. I've got 2 other things I'd like to ask the church for. Number one, we found out this last week that there's another student from Taiwan who has been at the school down in Modesto. He would like to transfer to Lodi, but we need a host family in order to take care of him. And if you would be interested, or even just interested in more information about what that entails, if you would call the office early this week, he would like to transfer as soon as possible, and we need help with the host family. Other thing I want to ask is a thing for prayer. Mr. Rodriguez here is going through, we have been through some times together, and we're going through another time right now. The end of his H-1 visa comes at September 30, which is not far away. We've been working with a lawyer to try and take care of things and get him permanent residency. That was all put in last year. It's in process, and we have not heard from them, and so we've been working this past week to work on getting a religious worker visa as an interim until the other comes. We need your prayers, and we need God's intervention with the people working in those offices to take care of that. So we would really ask an interest in your prayers that God will bring that through and make everything work out.
Amen. Oh, brother. Yes. Who are you missing in the public school? I see Noelle over here. And I know you. Who else is teaching at public? Yes. Retired, but you're still here. That's good. I know we have a few. I see Steve over here. I see Dennis. I see the Bortons over here. Yes. Anyway, thank you. Thank you all for. But, you know, we just feel the need just to pray for God's Spirit to just fill you, baptize you with His Spirit. But before we pray, we just have a little gift that we have, and it's just a little token, but it's something when you pick this up, this little pen. Hopefully you remember the message on it. It says, touching eternity, one heart at a time. The love you show, the wisdom you share, the support you give, the tears you dry, the faith you build. In all these ways, Jesus is at work in you and through you, touching lives from now and forever. And then the verse says, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I hope that you'll just put that there and read that, because that's, we know that God is using you with our kids. We want the Spirit of God to just bless you, fill you, anoint you again, because we look at this as a ministry. I would like can you come forward more to the middle? And we're going to have the elders come. Just come on right here to the middle and have this special prayer. Come forward in the middle. Come over. And we'd like to lay hands on you. And if there's not a hand from an elder, reach out and touch somebody ahead of you. I've asked George and Pastor Rick to pray, and then I'm going to have a short prayer as well. Okay, so let's just reach out, touch somebody. Let's pray for God's anointing.
Dear Heavenly Father, here are all your teachers and helpers We just ask your special blessing upon each one, that you will give them a double portion of your spirit, even as you gave Elisha, and that your works, your goodness, your love may be manifest through each one of them. And I pray also that you would shield them from the enemy who would like to come in and destroy their ministry, destroy their influence upon these young people. And Father, as a result of their work with the young people, may many of the young people's hearts be turned to you as their Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you for this time that we can come together to present them to you. And I just pray that added blessing as a result of us being here today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Precious Father, what a joy, what a privilege, what a responsibility it is to work with your children. And in a sense, we are all learners, whether we are teachers or students, parents, grandparents, supportive family at the church, wherever we are, we all want to be open to learn. And I ask in a very special way that you will be with each of these teachers, that you will grant them an attitude, a spirit of humility, of openness to your spirit to work in and through them. May they be willing to admit that they are human, that they make mistakes, and at the same time that you are leading them and that they have information and instruction to share with your children. We just ask for good things to happen through them. We want your kingdom to grow here in our schools, whether they are in our church schools or in public schools. May their influence spread and grow because they are channels through which your spirit is working. We long for Jesus to come, and we just pray that events such as this and people such as these will help bring that about as soon as possible, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, the year has already begun, but we just think it's appropriate as a church family to pray for our teachers and administrators. And Lord, we lift them up to you right now, that your spirit will come and anoint them in a fresh way. Lord, they need you. We all need you, but they need you as they minister to kids. It's not easy, Father, to lift up Jesus in their life and in the way they teach. And so we are praying, Lord, for power in their life. I pray the kids, as they come in contact with them, will know they've been with Jesus. And that every day, you would just fill them up, Lord. Make this the best year for Lodi. May the Spirit of God just hover on those campuses, Lord. And may we just have kids coming to know you because of the work of each person right here. Love you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for what you do.
Continue our message in music with Let There Be Love. Oh, excuse me. Oh, we're right. We're going to sing. Sit down.
Let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our eyes. May now your love sweep this nation, cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Amen. Is it my turn now?
Okay. Sorry, George.
That's what's good to be. It's so nice to be among family that you can make a mistake here and there and still feel at home. Today, our offering is for World Budget Fall Mission Appeal, and it's for unusual opportunities. I have a wallet here. It's mainly filled with credit cards and receipts. But, you know, the world budget of our church does not have credit cards. And so the only way they can respond to emergencies that come up or opportunities that come up is by the amount of funds that they have in their account. And so we have the opportunity today to build that account up so that when a disaster occurs or opportunity occurs to be able to spread the gospel, to build a new church, or to print new literature and Bibles, that we'll be able to do that on a timely basis. And so however the offering is used, we know that millions of people are going to hear about the carpenter who loved them and came and gave themselves himself for them and is going to be coming back very soon. So our deacons, let's have you stand at this time and we'll have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise your holy name, that you are in control of the universe in spite of what is going on around us. And we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be able to respond in love to those opportunities. Thank you for the opportunity to give our tithes and our offerings, that your work may be hastened and that Jesus may come very, very soon. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take him with me everywhere. I'll tell the world how Jesus saved me and how he And I know that if you trust him, that all he gave me, he'll give to you. I'll tell the world that he's my Savior. No other one could love me so. My life, my all, is his forever. And where he leads me, I will go. I'll tell the world that he is coming. It may be near or far away, but we must live as if he's coming. Would be tomorrow or today. For when he comes and life is over, who love him, there's more to be. Eyes have never seen the wonders that he's preparing for you and me. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian. Be not ashamed his name to bear. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian, and take him with you everywhere.
Now's that special time where we can come before our Father, our Creator, our Maker. And if you have a special burden on your heart, a special praise, and you would like to just come closer, a little closer, I'd invite you to come forward as our singers sing this next song.
Mend the broken pieces of this vessel. Lend your shades of grace into my soul. Draw me close to your likeness so that all can see a reflection of your love in me.
If you're able, please kneel as we pray. Our wonderful God, our gracious Creator, Master of the universe, Father, what a privilege it is to come before you. We thank you so much for the blessings that we have here, a church to worship in, freedom, and the safety that we enjoy. We thank you for the school, and we thank you for the teachers that have dedicated their lives to educating children, not just in the things of scholastic, but in the things of you. And Father, this morning as we come to you, we ask for your forgiveness, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We ask that you will restore that relationship that we all want to have with you so much. Father, I ask that you'll be, especially with the ministry team here at English Oaks, please be with Pastor Brent as he speaks to us and brings to us words that you have given him to speak. Father, on this day, we remember a sad event, and Lord, we ask that you will help us each to take courage to realize that your kingdom is near, even at the door. Father, help us to take this to heart so that as we come across people in our daily lives, we will be able to speak boldly about the love that you have placed in our heart. Father, we think of our brother Daniel and the problems that we have with the immigration. And Father, he's been such a blessing in our music department, and we ask that you will be with him and the lawyers and those working on this. Father, we continue to pray for your blessing on this church, on the small groups that are starting this week. Lord, may these small groups be an opportunity for each one of us to draw closer to you in our walk. Help it also be an opportunity for us to get to know each other better and to draw closer as an army of soldiers to finish the work that you have. Father, you're such a great God, and we owe everything that we have to you. We dedicate our lives to you once more as a church, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. My sister Claire and I are visiting from Galt this morning. We're very happy to be here with our extended church family. And this morning, I woke up this morning and realized that 9 years ago, the world as we knew it had completely changed and seemed to fall down around our ears. And the world has continued to become more uncertain. But I was encouraged because the one thing that we can always count on is the blood of Jesus Christ and his mercy. And because of that mercy, that no matter what happens here on this earth, that we will be able to be a family together in heaven.
their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, 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 wash all my sins.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I love that. Let's pray. Lord, come and wash away all of our sins. And Father, just fill us up today. Lord, that music is so beautiful. Minister it to our hearts through the message today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sabbath, we talked about being a family, that we belong. And it does feel good to be part of the family of God, doesn't it? To know we have people that love us, care for us, that are there for us. That's what the family of God is all about. And if you've given your life to Christ, then you are part of the family. And it doesn't matter race, it doesn't matter education, it doesn't matter where you're from, your parents, what you live in, what you drive. If you love Jesus and you're giving your life, then you are part of the family of God. We are a family. But today I want to talk not just about being a family, because the Bible talks not just about being a family, but we are a team. We are God's team. It is a winning team. It has a purpose and it has a mission. You know, I don't know about you, but I love being part of a winning team. Growing up, I've been involved in sports. Anybody like to be on the winning side? And win. Man, we hate to lose. We like to be on the winning side. You know, I never forget, you know, being involved in sports. Now, what sport do you think I played? Basketball. I love basketball. But, tennis. I love it. I think I have touched a racket before. Let's see. Basketball or tennis? Anyway, You know, I love that sport, but back at the seminary, you know, cemetery some call it, but seminary, had a little outlet, and we played basketball, and I got together a team, and we call ourselves the Patriarchs because most of us were at least 30 or over. Back in college, that was old. But anyway, we got together as a team, and we got together some pastors and seminarians, and we call ourselves the Patriarchs. And the seating tournament, it was only 10 minutes long, and we just couldn't get warmed up in time, and we lost. And they stuck us in B League, and the least I think we lost was by 20 points. Most of the time we lose winning by 40, 50, 60 points, stuff like that. But anyway, because of that, we won B League. They stuck us in A League in the tournament. And we went all the way to the championship, and in the championship, we went to 3 overtimes. We had 4 people left, and all the rest were fouled out, and we won by a point, I think, or 2. I can't remember, but it was like we won the last second of the game in the 3rd overtime. It feels good to be part of the winning team. We all hate to lose. And see, God has promised that His side is the winning team. We want to be part of something bigger and greater than ourselves. We want to be on the winning side. And the good news, no matter how bad or how dark this old world seems, and this 9/11, we think about how dark it was, and how scary it was, and how awful it was, 9/11. No matter how dark it is, no matter how much it seems like the enemy is winning, praise God, our captain is coming again, and His church is going to be triumphant, and we're going to win. Amen? But I want to ask you another question. We know we're going to win when Christ comes. But what about now? Are we winning now? Are we finding victory? Are we winning as a church? As a whole in America, English Oaks, are we winning? The question you might want to ask is, what is winning? We probably get different responses. Somebody might say, well, it's kind of a numbers thing. You know, if our church attendance is going up, if baptisms are going up, that must be a sign that we are winning. And by the way, it can be a sign that God is moving and working in our midst, but it's not necessarily telling us that we are healthy and that we are winning. Other people might say, hey, it's if the budget, if we're meeting budget, if we're in the black, if the offerings are coming in, we're paying our bills, that is a sign that we are winning. And by the way, if that's a sign, then this church is doing really well. By the way, it's just amazing. I mean, just we are still in the black this year, still. Praise God. I mean, and you know, the way this church supports our education is amazing. We must believe in Christian education. But other people say that's evidence that we are winning. And I believe it can be. Other people say if we are faithful, this is Adventist, if we are faithfully proclaiming and living the three angels' messages, and we are telling everybody in our area about them, then that would be winning. And there's other responses that I would get for winning. But see, the Bible is very specific about what it means to win as a church. And I want to go to that verse there in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Most of us know it by heart. It starts off with, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and do what? Go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach and observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Notice that when Jesus spoke His final words before He went back to the Father, Jesus did not say, go out and build beautiful churches and fill them with people. He didn't say that, did He? He didn't say, go make a great institution that will encircle the globe. He didn't say that. He didn't even say, go and make converts, even though that is part of being a disciple. He said, if you are winning, you are making disciples of Jesus. That is winning. And so the question we got to ask ourselves today, are we winning? A disciple, are we making disciples? People that know and love Jesus, that serve Christ. People that walk with Christ. people that are getting ready for Jesus to come. Are we making disciples as a church and the family of God? Matthew 28 is our game plan. It's our marching orders. It's our mission to go and make disciples. Many of you have been studying that, thinking about that. You've heard sermon after sermon of this message. Go and make disciples. So how are we doing? Are we winning? How's the scoreboard look? You know, a coach, as he's watching his team, he's also looking at the scoreboard. Where's Brandon? He's always looking at the scoreboard. How are we doing? Are we winning? Are we losing? Are we tied? What does the scoreboard say here in America? Is the church winning here in America? And so as the clock runs down on planet Earth, and folks, the clock is running down, and we are running out of time, but what does the scoreboard say? Are we winning? I tell you, in reality, this picture is not good of the church as a whole. Did you know that? The picture in North America is pretty bleak. And where we're going, and this next generation, I'll tell you what, it's a scary time for to be a Christian in this country. But it's interesting, George Barna and his research group says that there's approximately 360,000 churches in America. That's, of course, considering all churches' denominations. What is shocking, the statistics shocking, and this is fairly recent, only 15% of those churches in America are growing. And in the Adventist church, it is less than that. George Barna also says in his group that only 2 to 5% of those churches that are growing actually have new conversions in their churches. And 50% of these churches in North America, 360,000, half of them will not have or did not have one convert to Jesus Christ last year. That's the news. That's what's going on. We don't like to hear it. I mean, things aren't too bad here in Lodi English Oaks, right? But the church is in trouble. You know, Josh McDowell in his book, The Last Christian Generation, reveals that 85% of our kids or in the churches grow up in the faith, will leave the church between 18 and 24, never to return. When I went to some of the meetings of Lee Vinden, by the way, how many were over to Lee Vinden's? There's great messages. Great messages. I was there one night. He was talking about the Adventists and our kids. And you realize that about 82% of our kids in our churches are leaving the church. So how are we doing? Folks, the church is in trouble in America. It's a little better around the world, but here in America, we are in trouble. The score doesn't look good. And just something else to think about, as the church is declining and actually dying or just plateauing, it's interesting that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the entire world today. And it's growing rapidly in America. Interesting also that Mormonism, our brothers, the fastest growing religion in America. Did you know that? Is the church winning? If you take a good look at the scoreboard, it tells the church is in bad shape. Something is wrong. Our enemy is out to seek. He's out on a seek and destroy mission. We are in a spiritual battle, and we are losing as a church. I know you don't want to hear that, but that is reality. That's exactly what is happening. But it tells me something is wrong, because Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. All power, all authority. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of authority. When Jesus gave that commission to his disciples, he said, all power is given by me to you. It's been given to me. Now I'm giving it to you. Go out and make disciples. And so when I see a church that's plateauing, not growing, I say there's something wrong with that picture. Because when I read my Bible, He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He has all power. We should be winning, not losing. I just want to imagine that you have this little project in your garage. It's one of those muscle cars. How many has actually done this? Anybody ever done that? You know, you put a car and you found a car. It's an old car. And you start work from the ground up, you know. It takes a lot of time, energy, money. But you want to cherry a car out, a muscle car. Let's just say you have this car and you spare no expense. You put everything into it. You have all the best motor parts, you know, everything. You make this thing that it's going to go 200 miles an hour. It's going to be awesome. And the years go by. And weekends you're working here and there. Spending time on this car away from your family at times. I mean, you sacrifice. You spend a lot on this car. And finally, after a few years, you have your car. It's all ready. And you're getting ready to take it out, and you get in your car, you take it out to a back road, and you're just going to punch it because this car is going to fly. And you push the accelerator to the floor. And you can't even get a squeak out of the tires. All it would do is 45 miles an hour. And so you're driving along, 45, what is wrong? And you're saying to yourself, man, this car, what is wrong with this thing? And then you start, you know, making excuses. Well, at least it's beautiful. It looks good on the outside. Is that what you're saying? No, man, you turn that car around and say, what in the world is wrong? You're embarrassed, you're frustrated, maybe even mad. And you turn it around and you head back to the garage and you're going to get together your friends, whoever it is, and you're going to figure out what is wrong with the car. Because, see, the car was not designed to go 45. The car was designed to go 200. And you'll do whatever it takes to find out what is wrong. In the same way, God has designed the church to do certain things. It's supposed to drive. It's supposed to look a certain way. And I just happen to wonder if the designer of the car, so to speak, is happy with how fast it is going. And what road it is on. God has a plan. And His plan will not fail. His plan was to go make disciples of all nations. As I tell you, just by preaching this message, I'm under conviction. Jim Putman, in his book, The Church is a Team Sport. I recommend this book, by the way. He's talking about... Now, I'm going to tell you the story, first of all, about Jim. I'll get there. But anyway, Jim talks about growing churches. And he says, what are churches doing today to make their church grow? And he talks about the big four mentality. He says, most preachers are being taught good preaching, good worship, good children's ministry, good location, and you will grow. And so the goal is, of course, numbers, filling the pews. And many churches out there, growth experts, are basically saying the same thing. If you have a great show, if you got the best show in town, you will have a large congregation, you will have the biggest crowds. But again, largest does not necessarily mean that it is the healthiest. See, like Jim Putman says in his book, he says, pastors are the paid players. People that come to church are the fans. Game day is church time. The building is the arena. The elders are the board members are the general managers and owners that watch to make sure everybody's getting what they paid for. The money, the offering that goes in the plates is the admission price. The senior pastor is the star player. And people come to watch him play. Our brothers and sisters, it's time we get back to Christ's method. It's time we allow God to take us to another level for our church to win. It's time that we move instead of just being okay. It's time that English Oaks becomes a powerhouse for God. Why can't it happen here? It's happened before. It's happening even now in America. Why can't it happen through you and through me now when Christ wants to do it now? Well, I'm convinced the answer is found in what I talked about last week, and that's relationships. The great weakness of our church as a whole is relationship. That's where we failed. God has blessed us with truth and understanding. I have not found it any other place in any churches that I've been around. God has blessed us, but we are failing in the one thing, a relationship. Jesus did not start a church that would stand up against the gates of hell and prevail against it. He did not do it through pomp and power and through buildings and great institutions. He did it through 12 common, ordinary men. He built a relationship with these men. They had a relationship with him, and they had a relationship with each other. And they changed the world with 12 men, a small group. Until we get back to the model again, we are not going to see what God wants to do, because in small groups is where real discipleship takes place. We have strayed so far, and now it's the pastor model, you know. Pastor-driven. There's churches that are winning out there. They are realizing where we're lacking. They are realizing it's more than a show. Jim Putman and his group, they don't believe in the show mentality. They believe that we make disciples one at a time. That is built on relationship. You want a strong church that would change their community and the world. You build relationships. And so they realize show mentality isn't cutting it anymore. The pastor-driven churches aren't cutting it anymore. People are craving real and genuine relationships and real discipleship. Last year, I mentioned last year about how Steph and I went last July to Jim Putman's church up in Post Falls, Idaho. It was one of the most exciting, refreshing, powerful experiences of my entire ministry in my life. When I got there, I read his book before I got there. I could hardly believe the book, what it said. Now, Post Falls, Idaho, you guys know where that's at? It's just close to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. There's 10 to 12,000 people. I thought it was 15. It's actually 10 to 12,000 people that live in Post Falls. You've got to get this perspective. 12,000 people in the town. In the whole county, I mean, I forget how much, 25-mile radius, there was 100,000 people. Jim Putman, with four couples, started, he was one of the couple, him and his wife, they started back in 1999, 11 years ago. And today they have over 10,000 members in their church in Post Falls, Idaho. It's hard to even imagine. Unless you've been there, you can't believe it. They tell a story that they decided as they went back to Scripture, says, how come we're not doing it the way the Bible says we're supposed to? They looked at the early church and they said, let's get back to relationships, the model, again. And they decided no matter what, from top down, it was going to be built on relationships. And their church, within a year, was over 500. 2 years, they had over 2,300. Every year, they've been gaining 1,000 new members every year. And it is not pastor-driven. There is a leader, a pastor, he's a very good leader, but I'm telling you, it is driven by small groups. They believe in small groups is where real discipleship takes place. They do not believe that you go to church once a week and that's all you need. They believe the only way to become real disciples is in relationships with each other, growing together. And I tell you what, it's just amazing when you go and you meet the people. Everybody's in our, we were in a small group. They put us in a small group, and the person that led our small group had only been a Christian, was it 3 years, Steph? I think it was 3 years, straight out of the business world, making tons of money. But came, they had a crisis in the marriage, came to church, and the rest is history, and now he's a discipler making other disciples. And he was a powerful person for Christ. God wants the church to win, but are we willing to go where God told us to go a long time ago? I want to talk about quickly why small groups are so important. Because discipleship requires accountability. If you're going to become a disciple of Jesus, just as the disciples were accountable to Christ and to each other, we should be accountable to one another. We need to be around people that would tell us what needs to be said to us. But see, you can only say what needs to be said in a caring, loving relationship. I mean, this is not the reins to go out and start telling and rebuking everybody that doesn't have their acts together. Amen? But it happens in relationship. You can tell people the hard things in relationships. I didn't know it did that. Proverbs 18, verse 1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Few of us have accountability in our relationship. It takes time to build relationship, especially relationships that would tell us the truth. I mean, you look at AA, Alcohol Anonymous. Why is it being so successful? Why is it still successful after all these decades? Because people know that it's not just the book that's going to get them through and the 12 steps. They know they need accountability. I baptized a friend, still a friend, 7-8 years ago now. He came to church. But see, the church wasn't there for him. He had some rough edges. He had some stuff he was dealing with. And there was nobody there for him. He couldn't talk about it. He couldn't be open. He couldn't struggle with anybody. So he just told me, Brent, I go to AA. That's my church. Because there, I can grow. They understand my struggle. And they pray with me. And they care about me in my struggle. Small groups, that's exactly what happens in the small groups, because there in small groups, we become real. It's too often we come to church, we put on a mask. I've got it all together. We put on the suit. By the way, my suits don't look too bad from week to week, right? We put on the suit and the ties, and we dress up to come to church, and we look pretty good, and we act like we have our acts together. We got a mask oftentimes. Behind the mask, we are helpless and we feel alone in our struggle. We need brothers and sisters that are there for us. Let's stop pretending that we have our stuff together when we don't. We are all struggling with faith and belief and different struggles in our life. It's terrible to struggle alone. The devil wants us to believe that we're all alone as we deal with a specific problem. He loves us to be alone and how horrible we are. And we must be the worst person in the whole church. And so alone in the dark, the devil loves to play. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turn away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do we need each other? Amen. We need people to encourage us. By the way, the word encourage can mean admonishment. In other words, sometimes we need people to tell it the way it is. The people that love us. Because we love, we say it the way it is. But see, people will listen if they know you care and you love them. See, a pastor can't be there for everybody. It's one of the great frustrations of a pastor. Because so many of you have struggles, can't be there for everybody. But when you're in a small group of brothers and sisters, disciples, you can find what you need there. See, the second reason, not only is discipleship take accountability, but also it also requires authenticity. Amen? I mean, the church can be filled with pretentious people trying to make a good impression. Much of our relationships are shallow and superficial. I mean, can you really be real here? Can you really share what's going on? you're struggling, maybe with sin in your life, can you really be open and just tell everybody how hard life is and what's going on in your life? It's difficult. Most of the time we come to church and we say, how you doing? And what do we say? Good. Doing fine. We put on the smile. We have the mask. We got it all down. But see, the church should be a place where as brothers and sisters in the family of God that we can come and we don't have to put on a smile. And when we ask them, how you doing? I'm doing awful. Life is really hard right now. I need prayer. Folks, when we become like that, people from out there, because see, they're all struggling. And they come in here and they think we're not struggling. We got it all together. And people say, boy, these people can't relate with me. They got it all ready. They know their Bibles backwards and forwards, and they're ready for the kingdom. Only if they knew, right? We need a place to go, confidential. Not a place where we go and we share all the gossip. And a lot of you have learned you can't be honest in the church because it's going to spread throughout the gossip prayer chain. But a small group should be a place, disciples that are confidential, that keep it there. And we can share when we're going through tough things in our life. So discipleship requires accountability. Discipleship requires authenticity. But it also requires a place of learning and sharing, learning how to share. If you look at it, you know, if you want to be a great player in sports, you can't sit on the bench forever. You can watch sports, but if you're going to sit on the bench, you'll never become the great player that we should be. You got to get out there. You got to go play. If you want to be good in anything, a job, you got to get off the bench. You got to go, and you got to get involved. You got to learn how. I mean, how many want to get up in front of 1,000 people and speak? Some of you probably like to. Most of the people would say, oh, that scared me to death. And by the way, it's even a little scary in a small group. But it's not too bad when you're there with 8 to 12, 15 people. And God, and you can learn. See, you can be discipled in a small group. You look at the early church. Those leaders, those new believers were put in minor leadership roles of serving. Like in Acts 6, being deacons, serving. Philip, he just started meeting people's needs, and he became a great evangelist. Our goal is making disciples that will go out and make other disciples. That's what Jesus did for 3.5 years. He took the common, ordinary people of life. He poured his life into them. They learned how to do it. They saw it, modeled, taught. And they went out, and they began to make disciples. And aren't you glad? Because this world has never been the same. And the greatest movement in the history of the world started with a humble carpenter. They got 12 humble men and taught them about himself, his gospel, and his mission. See, it is actually starting to happen in our church. It's happening now. And I love the small groups that we're doing in this church. We're just taking stories of Jesus. And what I'm finding out, I've never done this before till last year, but you take the simple stories of Jesus. And anybody can come. Your neighbors can come. It's not forcing doctrine down their throat or anything like that. You just bring a neighbor. You can invite a neighbor today, tomorrow. Bring them to your small group. Neighbors will come. They'll find out how neat you are, and they'll become part of your life and your family. And anybody can come. If you miss the assignment, it's okay. Can you tell the story anyway? I love how it's working. And because of it, we've had quite a few baptisms because of it in our church. Praise God. A few years ago, a screenwriter named Gregory Howard moved from Los Angeles to Alexandria, Virginia. He was no stranger to Virginia, but he was attracted to Alexandria because of some of the history. That was the hometown of George Washington. But really, what really impressed him was how the blacks and the whites, how they lived together, closely together. One day he's at the barber shop. He heard men talking about a local high school football team and how great it was. They went on and on about the players and their accomplishments. Finally, Howard asked where the team would be playing his next game so he could go and watch them. Then he found out that the men these men were talking about, the team they love, was back in 1971. Howard, 3 decades, he couldn't believe it, almost 3 decades. This particular team was just as important to the people of Alexandria as they were still playing. Howard got to thinking, and he put together all the facts, and we know that the name of the movie is called what? Remember the Titans. Whoops, sorry. Remember the Titans. If you've seen the movies, you probably remember it's a great movie based on facts and what happened. It was a time when they're trying to dismantle segregation here in the United States. Alexander decided to actually combine 3 high schools, 2 white and 1 black. On top of that, they took a black coach, Herman Boone, a black coach, rather than Bill Yost, who was a favorite in the community. Boone did everything in his power to bring the players and the team together. He forced blacks and white players to ride on buses together up to the training camp. He also made them room together, but he was still having a hard time getting them to come together as a team. The players kept separating themselves by race. All but one white player, in a pivotal moment in the movie, Coach Boone asks that white team member for some facts about some of the African-American teammates. The player easily answered the questions. That's when the coach tells all of the young men that until they all learn about the other players on the team, they would expect to endure grueling practices 3 days, 3 times a day. It didn't occur easily. It didn't happen overnight, but the team started and they came together. Boone says later, when they started to win, he says, but the reason they began to win is because they began to communicate. They began to come together as a team. That action turned the Titans around. The team did win. They won every game in the regular season, the playoffs, the state champion. By the time they finished, the Titans in 1971 were ranked the 2nd best high school team in the nation. But see, more important than their wins on the field was their impact off the field. They brought their town together. When are we going to learn? When are we going to learn that the church was built in relationship and it hasn't changed? It's time that we get back to the model and everyone from top down that we are part of small groups, caring, sharing, loving, being trained, discipled together. ABC's Natural Church Development, page 15. Growing churches here have developed a system of small groups where individual Christians can find imminent community practical help and intensive spiritual interaction. It's time we come together. So, go Lodi English Oaks. Go team. We're going to sing together that song we used in our praise singing together. I want us to stand up together and sing. It's the praise song, but let's be praying for our team.
So, Lord, to
a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
That's all right.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us into your team. It's amazing when you think of the verse that you've called us to be one of your disciples, the God of the universe, to walk in your footsteps, to be like you. God, we crave that experience, not just with you, but with each other. Father, bring our team together. May we be all that we can be. Help us to win, Father, not for our glory, but for your glory. In Jesus' name.